Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 through 39a, and Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. The Reverend Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Reading for the Feast of the Martyrdom of St. John the Baptist is from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. This is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." But others said, "He is Elijah." And others said, "He's a prophet like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept them safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A badly demented and disordered individual committed murder and attempted murder at Annunciation Catholic Christian School in Minneapolis, as we've all seen on the news. There's obviously mental illness involved, gender transphoria, and many other issues, no doubt. And like a number of these have been recently, there's a manifesto left behind. I haven't heard much about it, but these manifestos are, in a way, a self-justification for the acts of the criminal act. We live in a sin-disordered world, and we see it on display most egregiously in those kind of activities. But sin disorders all of us. It pushes us all towards self-justification. There's a beautiful quote, I love coming back to it, by Oswald Beyer. He says, "Those who justify themselves are under a compulsion to do so." There's no escape. We cannot reject the question that others put to us. Why have you done this? What were you thinking about? Might you have done something else? In the others' view of us, and also in our own view, we always find ourselves to be the ones who are already being questioned and who have to answer. Complaints are made against us. We are forced to justify ourselves, and as we do so, we usually want to be right. Before the court of law, what constitutes our whole life is disclosed with particular clarity. The world of the court is not a special world of its own, but just a particular instance, a very striking one, of what is being done always and everywhere. In other words, everything you do, your job, your work and your vocation, every activity you have, every lazy thing you don't do, every quip, every response, you are prone, as disordered sinners, to seek self-justification. Just think about the last time you had an argument with your spouse. Well, if you would have, then I wouldn't have. And we know how many lies spew forth in those circumstances. I'm talking about myself. John the Baptist got caught in a moment of horrible, disordered reality. It's a web. Herodias was his brother Philip's wife. Philip was her half-uncle. She married her half-uncle. And she was the granddaughter of Herod the Great, who had tried to kill Jesus. And by the way, I always mention these nowadays, but there's tons of archaeological evidence and contemporary writings, basically in Josephus, which verify the whole story in the Bible. It's not myth. It really happened. In fact, it happened at Herod's, the palace Herod built 25 miles south and east of the mouth of the Jordan River coming into the Dead Sea. John preached repentance. He preached against disorder, you might say. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He preached to all who came to him. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region around about Jordan and were baptized of him, confessing their sins. He preached to the religious leaders. But then when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance." Religious hypocrisy is disorder. He preached to tax collectors and soldiers. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they said, "what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." We're utterly disordered, and they were disordered to use their power for their own benefit. And he came preaching for the repentance of all. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The axe is already at the root, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. There's no escaping the questions of others. Beyer says, if one accepts and welcomes the other or not, if one greets the other person or not, if one acknowledges the other person, either through praise or reproach, affirmation or negation, or if one does not acknowledge the other and regards the other as worthless, a decision is made concerning our being or non-being. Only a being that is recognized and acknowledged is a being that is alive. If no one were to call and greet me by name, if no one were ready to speak to me and look at me, then I would be socially non-existent. Some people say that the language of justification is completely foreign to modern people, so we shouldn't talk about it. Beyer says exactly the opposite. Justification is the most fundamental reality of all of human life. We justify ourselves for everything, especially when we're wrong, especially when we're disordered. We have the answer to this world. Everybody diligently longs for recognition, for acceptance, to be reckoned by God. And we have the answer. The doctrine of justification in the Augustana tells us we are reckoned as righteous, sinless, by God Himself, by grace, through faith, only by Christ. We are reckoned somebody. You are reckoned as precious as the blood of Christ. You are reckoned sinless, guiltless. You are reckoned valuable, infinitely valuable. And that's what the world needs, whether it understands it or not. And that's our blessed message. And comes through crosses and difficulties and deaths and everything else in this world. John died preaching that message, that I become less and he become more, dramatically so. So all this light could be shown upon Christ. John's death happened for a purpose, to demonstrate that. And that is the way it goes with all of us Christians. And like Annunciation Catholic Church in Minneapolis. A final point. We used to have the NIV as the official translation of the Missouri Synod. And in a verse at Matthew 11, where Jesus is talking about John the Baptist, Matthew 11, 12, the NIV translates it, "The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and forceful men are laying hold of it." That is, if you want to take the kingdom of God, you got to take it by force. That's not what the text says. These are passive verbs used as deponents, which means they are active. Here's what the King James says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Here's Luther. "Aber von Tagen Johannes des Täufers bis hierher leidet das Himmelreich Gewalt." The kingdom suffers from powers. Same thing in the Greek. Arpazousin. And we see what that word means, especially when we look at the Vulgate. "Ad diebus autem Johannes Baptistae usque nunc regnum coelorum vimpatitur et violenti rapiunt illud," and the violent rape it. That's what the word means. The kingdom suffers violence, and in doing so, it advances to the last day. Rejoice. You are reckoned somebody. Rejoice. Your words have the power to reckon others, beloved and justified. Rejoice. You have eternal treasures. In the name of Christ, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.